I am pleased to say that my special guest for today, Vivian, has arrived, and she's sitting there looking very calm and cool and collected, coming for a chat. So hello, Vivian.
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, I can hear you as well. That's good. Everything's working. Vivian, one of the reasons I wanted to chat to you, or with you, probably not to you, because you're going to do most of the talking, was about First Act. Which is a group based at Shanklin Theatre,
yes,
that's been going for over 20 years.
Yes.
Some people around may not have heard of it.
Right.
So could you start us off by explaining what it is?
Yes. First Act is, it's First Act 2011, it's called, because we were reformed in 2011. And it's a theatre group for students with learning disabilities.
Okay.
It's mainly adults. From 18 upwards. We have one lady who's 72. You wouldn't think it, but she's 72. And we teach them to sing and to dance, and we do drama workshops and props workshops and all sorts of things. So we teach them every aspect of theatre up to the degree and the level that they can cope with, yes.
Yeah, okay. And am I right, it's been going for more than 20 years?
It was established by Carol Laidler in 1994.
Yes.
And I joined about a year later.
Right. How did you come to get involved? Because this is where I start digging away into your past,
right.
You see. I'm
okay.
Going to wheedle out all your past history now.
Okay, right. Well, I went to Sandown Pavilion to see a show called Willow Pattern. Carol had asked me to go along to support them. And when I got there, I didn't know what it was. And when I got there, I saw this group. They were amazing. There was only about 12 or 13 of them. One of them was in a wheelchair, or a few of them looked, you know, rather disorientated on the stage. And I so enjoyed the show. I think TV South came over and did a little thing on their news for them. And it was amazing what those 12 people did. They sang and they danced and they did the actual play of the Willow Pattern, and I found out that they'd made all their own props and everything, and I was just so overwhelmed and so delighted with the whole group that afterwards I said to Carol, if you would like any help at all with this group, I would love to be involved. So she said, well, we'll see you at 10 o'clock on Monday morning. And 20 years later down the line, I'm still doing it. So it's lovely. It's a sheer joy to do. It's a vocation.
Yeah. Okay. And how has it grown since then? How many people are involved now?
Wow, I think they started off with about 12 students. I think we now have in the 20s.
Yeah.
And we do 2 days, whereas we used to do one. And I think we have a waiting list
Of
people to join. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Is that
2 days
every week?
2 days every week. We just have Christmas off and August in the summer.
Yeah.
But yes, it's every week.
Okay.
We don't do bank holidays.
No,
we let them have a rest.
And you, no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is the idea of it? How is it helpful to them? I mean, I probably know, but it'd just be nice to talk about that. What difference does it make to their lives?
See. Yes, the idea is to build their confidence. Very often people with learning difficulties are shy because everybody else does everything for them. Just helps to build their confidence. It brings out some amazing talents that even their parents didn't realise they had. We have a student who plays the piano. You can la 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 a tune to him and he will play the piano. It's absolutely amazing.
And
we
that,
have another
that person didn't know of
yes,
that
they
ability.
Knew. They knew he could play.
Yeah.
But of course, having him in First Act is a blessing to us, because if we haven't got any music one day, and Andrew, his name is Andrew, can sit down and play for us.
That's
it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
We have another guy. I don't want to section out too many people, but Anthony Beaumont. He writes. He will write poetry. He does amazing dialogue in all our shows. He has a rapport with the audience that many comics would die for.
Yeah.
And just generally, it's amazing what they can do until you push them. We don't push them too hard. We try to encourage them.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the talents that they have. Yes.
Okay. And so it's a confidence builder. It's not all about being on stage. That's not really what it's about.
That's the cherry on the cake, being on stage. And they all say they're terrified. Of course they're terrified. We're all terrified. But I'll tell you, as soon as the curtains open, they show off like the best of them. I've seen them.
I've seen the pantomimes. I think anybody who's ever seen them, you can't fail to be moved and impressed at the same time, can you?
That's right, yes.
Must be such a rewarding thing for you to do.
It is, and believe me, they have taught me probably a lot more than I've ever taught them.
That was going to be my next question for you. Because you will come on to this later, because you are a very well-known, established actress, so you know what you're talking about. But what have they taught you?
Humility and that sort of thing. I think seeing them grow is just, it's quite emotional sometimes when you see them do things that they never even dreamt they would ever enter their orbit. To see them do things, and of course they form friendships within the group. They wouldn't have these friendships if they were at home. They do go to centres where they have friends, but this is a special friendship that they have because they're working together and they're doing something and they have an end goal, which of course is the show.
Yeah.
And when they've done it, they congratulate one another and everything. It's so good for their social skills as well.
Yeah. I mean, so many people that I meet, I do theatre stuff myself, and the number of people I meet who say, I'm shy normally, and doing this has really brought me out of myself.
Yes.
That's true for just about everybody, isn't it?
Well, I am very shy.
Are you?
I was painfully shy as a child. I wouldn't speak to anybody. I was so shy. But put me in a wig and a frock, and
it's the same for me,
something
Vivian.
Happens. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. We're giving the game away now. But that was a perfect link, thank you, to talk about you, because I want to go back to how you got into show business.
Right.
So how far back are we going then? Right to childhood.
We can go back to childhood, yes. My mother said I was spent more time on my hands than I did on my feet. So she was an older mother in those days, so she couldn't cope with my energy. I wish I had that now. But anyway, she put me to acrobatics. I was doing acrobatics for about a year, and the ladies sold out the school to a dancing teacher, proper dancing teacher.
Where are we at the moment, Vivian? Which part of the world?
I was probably about 4 or 5 or something
like
that.
And whereabouts?
Whereabouts? This is in Buckinghamshire.
Buckinghamshire.
I come from Buckinghamshire.
Okay.
A little village called Bourne End on Thames. And anyway, so I went to the dancing school till I was about 8. And she had limited scope, I suppose. And my mother discovered there was a ballet school in Slough, asked me if I'd like to go, and I sort of said yes because I was hopeless at school. Because I wouldn't wear my spectacles, I couldn't see the blackboard, so I fell hopelessly back in my schoolwork. So I went to ballet school, and from that day on, I just never looked back. I went to ballet school, and the school that I attended put the juveniles into Windsor Theatre Royal pantomime every year, and I got to go into that because I was small in stature.
Yeah.
I did that for 3 years, and that was it. I was hooked, 14 I was hooked. And I did a couple of years in the chorus, but because I could sing a little bit, I had a singing teacher and he said to me, oh, you shouldn't be in the chorus, you should be doing soubrette work and principal girl work and all that sort of thing. So he pushed me, him and my mother pushed me, because I was painfully shy and didn't think I could do anything at all. They sort of pushed me, and I was very lucky. I was never out of work. I had did some good jobs. I was what they call a supporting artist. I didn't want to be famous. I was never famous. I didn't want to be famous or anything like that. But I was always working, and I had such the most amazing, wonderful career. It was fantastic. Enjoying myself and getting paid for it.
Yeah. So from the age of about 14, you've, what, never been off the stage? More or less?
Probably about six. Wow. I've never been off the stage.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I've never thought of it like that.
No. You should be used to it by now.
Yes.
But do you think you're still shy? Are you still shy or has that gone?
On some occasions. I'm not a party animal.
No.
I go to a party and stand in a corner.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that.
Yes, yeah. But if something needs to be done,
yeah,
I will. And I know that it's got to be done, then I will put myself forward to do it.
Yeah.
Yes, shyness comes in many forms, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It's a fascinating subject because I was painfully shy as a child, and Mum used to send me on errands, you know, like go to the corner shop to buy something, and I'd just be panic-stricken at the idea of going into the shop and having to ask for something.
Oh, well, that happened
to me.
Were
you the same?
You know? Yeah. Yes, that happened to me, but
I
my mother used
tongue-tied.
To have to write it on
yeah,
a piece of paper.
Exactly.
A pound of sugar.
Yeah. I hand it over.
And how much she'd put a shilling in
yeah,
my hand.
Yeah.
And I just went to the shop and handed it over.
Exactly.
And the lady smiled and I just stood there
yeah,
and waited for the sugar and went.
Oh, it's not just me then.
No.
Oh, isn't it awful
it's
to
a shilling.
Think
that's
back.
Going back. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was a bit more than a shilling.
Oh,
I think.
No. But the way I got through it was I became a journalist. I worked for newspapers and I found I'm still shy now, but when I've got a sort of a platform that's mine, I can do it.
That's right.
And people think it's all easy,
that's
don't
it,
they?
Yes,
but
yes,
it never is
yes,
it?
Yes.
Fascinating stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But tell us a bit more about your career, Vivian. So before you came to the island, were you travelling the world doing shows?
No, not the world. I didn't travel the world. I wish I had. I've worked in nearly every theatre in this country.
Have you?
I was on tour. Well, I did summer seasons and pantomimes for every year from 1966 up to 1978.
Well, would you have been under the same name?
Yes, Vivian yeah, Russell all
yes,
that time.
Okay.
Yes. That's not my real name. But in the 60s, we all changed our names to hopefully something a little bit more glamorous. No, I did all the theatres in this country. I was
yeah,
with a touring company. I was with Chapman's Music Hall for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I lived in London for a while and formed a double act, and then I came down to the island to work in the hotels, but that's very much later. But I have to say, in 1978 I did summer season on Sandown Pavilion with
yeah,
Mike and Bernie Winters and John Bolter and Arthur Worsley. That was the year that Mike and Bernie Winters broke up.
Really?
Yes, and I was in that show. So that
Gosh,
was the first time I ever realised that the Isle of Wight was such a lovely place.
Yeah.
And I think from then on I thought to myself, I've got to get back there at some point.
Did you?
Yeah. Yes.
Was that, is that right? You,
that's it.
That experience.
Yes.
So you were here, what, for the whole summer in that year?
For the whole summer, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 1978. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Was,
and what did that do to like home life and things?
I was a single girl.
Single and fancy free, as they say.
I was a single girl. No, actually, I wasn't. Actually, I was doing pantomime in Plymouth the year before that, and I got married while I was in Plymouth doing pantomime. We got married in the morning and did a matinee in the afternoon. There's a pro story for you.
Did you? Really?
Yes. And the stage hands, I don't know whether Chris Gardner was part of this, but the stage hands blocked the church door open with a huge, great big stage weight, which was sprayed silver with a pink bow on the top. So when we walked out of the church, it was held open by a stage weight. I got married in the January, and then I was contracted to come down to do the summer season.
Yeah,
and my husband was working at the Talk of the Town at the time. So
Jack.
No.
Right.
My first husband.
Yes. Okay. I've got to ask these things. So yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So what year are we in now?
Oh, we're 1978.
Okay.
1978.
Okay.
And,
so Talk of the Town. That's a.
Yes, he was at the Talk of the
Town. Is that still
yes,
going?
No. Actually, I. Did I wasn't doing theatre work at the time. I did a bit of depping at the Talk of the Town in the box office.
Okay.
And while I was there doing some temporary work, a girl left to have a baby, and they asked if anybody would like to come in, and I said, "Oh, I'll come and do it. I'd love to do that." You know.
Yeah.
And while I was there, probably I did about 3 or 4 sessions, I think. And while I was there, the talk of the town closed down. We were told on the Thursday, and it closed on the Saturday. It was the shock of London.
Really?
I can't remember the year, 81 or 82.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It was the biggest shock. We had people ringing up and saying, "Can I book a table for..." "Well, I'm sorry, the talk of the town's closed." "No, don't be ridiculous. I've got..." "Yeah, I'm sorry, it is."
Yeah.
It was so quick.
Oh, wow.
I've never known anything close so quickly.
No, I can imagine.
And they were rehearsing a show. They'd got the costumes made. They were in the middle of rehearsing a show. Wow. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It'd be like the London Palladium shutting, wouldn't it, really?
Yes.
The equivalent.
Absolutely.
It can't happen.
But
yeah.
Unfortunately, it did.
Yeah.
Because, you see, it was the Hippodrome Theatre before it was the talk of the town.
Yeah.
And now it's gone back to being the Hippodrome Theatre, so it's sort of gone back to its roots. It was a cabaret club. It was a wonderful cabaret club. And there were, you know, people, Anita Harris, Rita Moreno.
Yeah.
I was there. When it closed, I was there with who's the guy that does the impersonation of Shirley Bassey? He's been at Shanklin. He's booked to do Shanklin Theatre a couple
Shirley
of times.
Shirley Bassey.
What's his name?
I don't know. Oh, shall we have a break while you think about it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I've got. Oh, I can't wait for this. A man who does an impression of Shirley Bassey. Right. I'm going to play some music while Vivian thinks about who that was. S Club 7, bring it all back. You're listening to Vectis Radio. I am Kevin Wilson on the Monday Magazine with you till 4 with my special guest Vivian Russell, and we're having a good chin wag about some of the places and some of the people that Vivian's worked with over the years. And Vivian, you were trying to remember before our musical interlude who the man was at the talk of the town who impersonated Shirley Bassey. I've waited patiently. Can you remember who that was?
It's Joe Longthorne.
Ah, right.
He's absolutely brilliant. When you hear him singing and you can't see it, you think it is Shirley Bassey.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which led me to think, because I know you've worked with some amazing people over the years. When I interviewed Chris Gardner, and I bet he's listening in, you know, I got him to do a speed name dropping. And I'm not going to do that to you, but could you pick out amongst all the people you've worked with just 2 or 3 who, like, particular highlights maybe? I know it's a bit unfair because you love them all, but are there any that you'd like to mention to us?
Well, yes, I can. I don't know, I can't do a speed one, but I mean, I know in my... When I was at Windsor, I worked with Ray Cooney, the great, you know, colleague.
Oh, yes.
Writer Ray Cooney. And that was a wonderful experience. And
were you in one of his farces?
Everybody, yes.
Yeah.
No, it was the pantomime.
Oh,
it was
actually pantomime.
Appearing in the pantomime.
Yes, he does act as well, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I used to love standing in the wings watching people.
Yeah.
And I think you could learn a great deal from watching.
Yes.
And I worked at my first summer season was with Tommy Trinder.
Yeah.
You lucky people, he used to say. I don't know whether they were or not. And Ronnie Hilton, Ken Goodwin, he was another wonderful guy I worked with. And all the way over from America, I did pantomime in Stockton-on-Tees with Guy Mitchell. She wears red feathers and a hula hoop skirt.
Oh, good grief, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That was
I bet
amazing.
loads of people will remember all these names, won't they?
Yes,
they will.
Yes.
Oh, keep going.
That's right, right. I did Chapman's Music Hall, and we used to have guest artists. We used to have David Whitfield and Clinton Ford come in.
Ford.
Pantomime with Tom O'Connor.
Yeah.
And, of course, John Bolter and Di Francis from the B&W Minstrels.
Yes.
I did Summer Season with them. And with Billy Burden as well, Billy, the West Country comic.
Yeah.
He was nice. Mike and Bernie, of course, I've mentioned. And Arthur Worsley.
Yeah.
And of course, Joe Brown. I did pantomime with Joe Brown, and he visited Shanklin Theatre a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, tell everyone what you tell me before.
Well, when you work with people, you don't get their autographs, 'cause it's a bit sort of...
Yeah.
You don't, do you? anyway, of course, I hadn't got his autograph. And when he came to Shanklin Theatre, I just said to one of the people that was with him, I wonder if Joe would sign this programme. And she said, well, what's it all about? And I said, well, I did pantomime with him in 1981 and I never got a signature. She went and told him, and Joe called me through back to the dressing room at the back, and he signed the programme and the photograph from the show that we did in 1981. And the lovely Chris Gardner happened to be standing by, and he took a photograph of us, in the same position. Yeah. 33 years later.
Oh, wow.
I've got them, and then yes, it shows the years, but not that many.
Yeah.
Not many.
And was Joe Brown just the same as you remember
Joe
him?
Joe Brown was absolutely gorgeous. He didn't, as soon as I showed him the programme, he remembered the show, obviously. Well, it was a pantomime. We did it for 5 or 6 weeks. And,
yeah.
He remembered that.
Was that the staple income, really? The pantomimes were the ones that kept you... It was like the bread and butter?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, when I first started, a pantomime could be... I did 3.5 months in Swansea doing pantomime.
Wow.
And then I'd do 5 months in the summer season. So that was most of the year gone.
Yeah.
You just get a time to have a holiday and get a little temporary job, and then you'd be back to work again. But... As the years went on, so the seasons got shorter and the pantomimes got shorter as well.
Yeah.
And so you needed to
just,
fill in the
Is that just pure economics that people weren't coming
I
in the numbers?
So. Well, people started going abroad, you see.
Yeah.
When you do a summer season, and originally it was might have been twice nightly, you had lots of people there to go and see the big stars at the seaside resorts. But as people went abroad, so there were less, they cut down to one show per night instead of two.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it was only 3 nights a week instead of five
so
or six.
So less income for you,
which
means that you have to do other things during the year.
That's right. Yeah. I did bits of cabaret and I did bits of promotion work as well.
What sort of cabaret did you do, Vivian?
Cabaret? Well, my own act in cabaret.
As in singing, dancing?
I was just as a singer and a dancer. Mostly singing in those days.
Yeah.
When you get past a certain age, your dancing's not really good. But yes, just as a singer and comedy. And I quite like comedy. I wouldn't do stand-up, but I like comedy.
No.
In shows, I would do comedy sketches and that sort of thing.
But what about drama? Have you done lots of drama?
Yes. I went to drama school for a little while and I enjoyed it. But there again, I was a bit too shy to do any big drama scenes. But as the years have gone on, I've enjoyed drama more, and I love comedy. I just love doing comedy.
Yeah.
And that was a good opportunity in the summer season. There were always comedy sketches.
Yeah.
And I would say, I'll do that. Yeah, and love it. So I like doing comedy, and this is why I like to do farce.
Yes.
This is why I did a farce with Jack Douglas, and that was the Bedful of Foreigners we did.
Yeah.
And Don't Tell the Wife.
Yeah.
And I've done quite a few farces. I love it. I love getting into character and doing farces.
Yeah.
And I've done musicals as well. I did Miss Hannigan.
You've been so busy.
Annie.
And did you love every minute of it?
Lovely. I love it. I've been blessed with I just do a job and I get paid for it. And
Did you ever get tired of it? Were there ever times when you thought maybe I could do something else, or did it never enter your head that?
No, I never had much confidence in doing anything else other than the demonstrating work that I did. I just think that I was just born for it.
Yeah.
I was never going to be a scientist or a mathematician.
Yeah, you found your vocation very early, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well,
but now I write the pantomimes and things for First Act.
Oh, do you?
Or either write them or adapt them from Dickens or Lewis Carroll, that sort of thing.
Oh, brilliant.
I like doing that.
Yeah.
I like doing that, yeah.
And as we mentioned earlier, there is a certain Jack Douglas appeared in your life in the mid-90s.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, a very famous name as well.
That's
so
right.
Did you meet here on the island?
Yes, we did. Yes, I'd done a couple of shows for Isle of Wight Theatres, and I remember saying to... Tony Wright, you know, will you be wanting me this season for anything? And he said, oh yes, we're doing Me and My Girl, and you know, and I wasn't totally familiar with it. He said, I want you for the Duchess of Dean. I said, oh right, oh yes, and we've got Jack Douglas coming. And I thought, who? and the name vaguely rang a bell. And I didn't like to say to him, who's that? Because I didn't want to appear stupid. So I thought to myself, oh, I remember. Jack Douglas was that man who used to appear over Des O'Connor's left shoulder saying, now, Mr. O'Connor, or something like that, you know. Yeah. And I thought, surely it can't be him, you know?
Yeah.
It was. He looked very much different in a suit.
Yeah.
And yes, we got together, and it was a lovely, lovely friendship, lovely relationship. And Jack sold up and moved over here to the island, and we were very happy for 12 years. And
lovely.
Sadly, he passed away in 2008.
Yeah.
And but we were together all that time, so it was a lovely experience.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yes, and we went all over. Obviously, I didn't know anything about Carry On films. I didn't know he was in a film, and he was an eight. So I had to
embarrass.
But I did sort of help him write his book.
Yeah.
I took down the notes. He told me all the stories, and I took down the notes and passed them on to the writer, and the writer wrote the book. And, yes, it was good. It was cool. It's called A Twitch in Time, and it was Jack's autobiography published in 2002.
Oh, lovely. And I want to take us right back to where we started on this chat, which is First Acts.
Yes.
Because that's your main love or in your life now, isn't
it?
Dad?
It is.
You're writing, you're teaching, you're sort of helping and also learning still from other people through it, aren't you? So it's a marvellous thing.
Yes.
But can you, this is an opportunity for a shameless plug if you want to give one. Like, how could people find out more about First Act? And is there something coming up that people might be able to come and see?
Yes.
Any performances?
Yes, well, this Christmas we are doing Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
And for the first time ever, we're doing it two nights running.
Oh, wow.
We normally just do one show.
Yeah.
So the Monday group, we have some students who come on a Monday, some who come on a Tuesday, and some who come both night, both days. Right?
Yeah.
So the characters who just do the Monday group will be performing on the Monday. And the characters who just do the Tuesday perform on the Tuesday. And those who do both will take both of their parts on a Monday and a Tuesday. So for two nights running, they will be doing Alice in Wonderland.
Brilliant.
And it's been, obviously we've had to adapt it to suit our own capabilities.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward, and it's at 6:30. I believe it's the 1st of the 29th of November and the 1st of December.
Oh, it's a long way
Monday
off.
Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. Yes, yes.
But is there a website that people can look at?
Yes, well, Shanklin Theatre. Yes, First Act have a website now.
Yeah.
That's www.firstact2011.co.uk.
Well
and
remembered.
I don't know how I remembered that.
You did it well.
And also, you can get in touch with Carol Laidler on an island number 408184.
Okay.
Or 07769646086.
Okay. And if people want to check out the panto, just go to Shanklin Theatre website.
Shanklin Theatre, which is 86 8000, and find out. It's in the next brochure.
Yeah.
We'll be on.
Brilliant.
And it would be lovely to see people to come and support the artists, because they work very, very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, already they're doing little bits and pieces their pantomime.
I'm sure.
And they love it.
Oh.
And people very often say, oh, we know when Christmas is approaching because First Act is doing their show.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's becoming a must-attend event, I think. Oh, well, thanks so much for coming in, Vivian. It's been lovely to talk to you. Never had a chat with you before.
Oh.
We could probably talk for the whole of the afternoon, but it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, that's all right. And maybe you'll come back and see us again sometime.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Perhaps near the time, just before the panto, we can have a chat then.
Oh, yes, good idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vivian.